The Public News Service Daily Newscast for April the 27th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Can a school discipline students for things they say outside of school? That's the question the U.S. Supreme Court will consider tomorrow in a case out of Pennsylvania.
In 2017, a high school sophomore was kicked off the Mahanoy Area High School cheerleading squad for posting a picture and text online that the school district believed to be negative, disrespectful, and demeaning about cheerleading. According to Sarah Rose with the ACLU of Pennsylvania, courts have ruled that schools have broad powers to discipline students for speech considered disruptive when they are in school, but this student's Snapchat message was posted on a Saturday and sent only to friends.
We think it's really important that the court decide that when they're no longer under the school supervision, when they're under their parents' supervision, students and their parents get to decide what's appropriate for them to say and not the school.
A brief filed by the school district claims schools should be able to treat students alike when the disruptive speech is directed at the school, no matter where it originates. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
24 organizations ranging from conservative religious groups to civil rights advocates have filed amicus briefs on behalf of the students in the case. The U.S. Census Bureau announced Monday that Texas will gain two additional congressional seats, the most of any state in the nation, due to an increase in residents of color, particularly Hispanics. More from Ross Brown.
The additional seats are largely due to an increase in residents of color, particularly Hispanics, some of the same voters Texas lawmakers have targeted with bills that would make it harder to participate in elections. David Becker leads the Nonpartisan Center for Election Innovation and Research and says local election officials employed strategies to allow as many people as possible to vote during the pandemic, and those policies soon may be overturned.
The Texas bill that's being considered now, SB 7, would significantly roll back those efforts and pretty much enshrine Texas as one of the hardest states to vote in the country.
In addition to enacting voter restrictions, Senate Bill 7 would reduce local control over elections. The Census Bureau data shows that 2 million more residents now live in Texas compared with 2010 through 2019, and Hispanics made up more than half of the state's population growth. Attorneys representing the family of Andrew Brown Jr. said Monday that North Carolina sheriff's deputies shot the 42-year-old black man in the back of the head as they were serving a warrant last week. CBS News reports that Brown's son was allowed to view what the family attorney said was 20 seconds of police body camera video. Afterwards, he told reporters, "My dad just got executed by trying to save his own life." This is PNS. Midwestern union leaders say before and after the pandemic that women have dealt with a variety of challenges in the workforce, but they say a proposed federal law could give them more power to organize and demand fairness.
Last month, the U.S. House approved the PRO Act, which, among other things, would bar employer interference and influence in union elections. Sue Martin of the Nebraska State AFL-CIO says in workplaces such as meatpacking plants, there's a lack of union protection, leaving women behind in making advancements.
Many women are passed up for promotions by their basically male-dominated supervisors because of favoritism or for whatever other reason.
She says by removing barriers to organize, more labor contracts could be drafted to include language addressing these fairness issues. The PRO Act also would counteract right-to-work laws in nearly 30 states, including North Dakota. Opponents of the proposal say those state laws protect a worker's individual rights, while arguing the federal plan would remove flexibility for those wanting to pursue side ventures. I'm Mike Moen.
While the PRO Act did clear the House and has support from President Biden, it faces an uphill battle in the Senate. Experts forecasting up to 400,000 new jobs in Nevada as a result of the Biden climate change goals and infrastructure plan.
President Joe Biden just pledged to cut U.S. carbon emissions in half by 2030. Sarah Steinberg is with Advanced Energy Economy, a trade group for clean energy companies. She notes that the infrastructure bill, called the American Jobs Plan, would pour billions into the fight.
And that means a lot of jobs, especially in states like Nevada, that have abundant natural resources that can contribute to our energy ecosystems.
Opponents of the infrastructure bill say it is too expensive and would result in fewer jobs in the oil and gas industry. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Finally, Mary Sherman tells us Ohio lawmakers are considering a measure that would help give the next crop of farmers a strong start in the business.
The Wall Street Journal found that the cost of buying or renting farmland in the Midwest is climbing, with farmers placing larger and larger bids on farmland. This poses a challenge to beginning farmers such as Julie Sharp of Columbus, who's looking for roughly 40 acres of land to launch a pasture-based livestock operation focused on soil health and biodiversity.
This regenerative livestock production system is fairly land intensive. As land becomes more and more expensive, it just becomes harder for a farmer like me to be financially viable. I don't know if I can make enough money per acre to be able to make a living for myself.
Sharp adds that helping beginning farmers also benefits rural areas as their operations look to purchase supplies, equipment, and hire workers in the community. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.